6 and we get to be in God's house.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? And I am so grateful. I wanted us just to start off this morning walking into 2026 just full of gratitude for who God is in our lives, for what he's done, and for what we are believing him to do. Because he is such a big God and he is so good. And I don't know about you, I say this quite often. You guys know that we are standing and waiting for a miracle in the Thomas family for my husband to be able to see. And I'm like, Lord, if 2026 is the year, so be it. And so I'm just going to claim that every day. And I'm going to thank him for who he is, for what he can do, and for what he's done. And so, God, today we just bring glory and honor to your name. We are so grateful for who you are. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for letting us see 2026. Thank you, Father God, for another day that we can proclaim the mighty and holy name of Jesus, the name above all names. And God, we just count it an honor, Lord, to be in your house today. Thank you, Father God. All right.
Thank you.
He changed our name. If you have walked out of a life of sin and you now walk with Jesus, you know how exciting that song can be. You know what those words, what those words can mean. He is such a good Father. And what I wanted to do this morning, when I was asking and praying just for the Lord to give guidance on what he wanted us to open up with for worship this morning, I thought, Lord, what do you want? And I just believe that we are to proclaim the name of Jesus over our lives, over our families, over 2026, over this house. This is Christ Chapel. God is here. And I want him to come and do what only he can do. I want him to do that in this house, in my life. And I just want us, as we worship in these next two songs, to really, really, let's just lock in and focus on Jesus. No matter what it feels like, whether we're in a valley season or maybe we're on the mountaintop and it's a little bit easier there, but can we just proclaim the name of Jesus, that we are believing, that we have that God confidence that Pastor John preached about, that we have confidence not in who we are, but in who he is, and we are proclaiming the name of Jesus over 2026. God, we love you. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father God, you're so good. We trust you, Jesus. All confidence, Lord, in who you are.
I pray into the atmosphere. Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority. I pray over my heart and mind. I am healed by your stripes. Your blood declares that I am free. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, calling on the power of heaven. I proclaim every weapon formed against me must break. Permanent boundary line. Come on.
Jesus, we worship you. We trust you, Jesus. Jesus, no other name but the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, oh. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence.
I speak Jesus.
Shout the name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name.
A mystical place in Him. It's a tangible place. It's a perceivable place. And it's an impenetrable place. You, me, we're in Christ. And He is in us. We are in Him. You've heard me often say it's kind of like putting a tea bag in hot water and it becomes tea. You can't take the tea out of the water and you can't take the water out of the tea. It's just tea. And this morning, as you face this new year, I want you to know that there's going to be no surprises. How can you say that? Oh, I didn't say you wouldn't be surprised. But the one you're in won't be surprised. The one that watches over you does not slumber nor sleep. This year, the Lord's going to be your keeper and the shade upon your right hand. The sun's not going to smite you by day nor the moon by night. Life will be difficult, but God is going to rule and super rule in your life. Being a Christian does not exempt us from the things the world experiences. We get it all. Everything they experience. But we're in Him, and He's in us, and Christ doesn't sink. Christ doesn't lose. Christ doesn't fail. I know that we, by the grace of God and by that name, have all sufficiency in all things that we can abound to every good work. And some of you, and I don't mean this in a joking way, the year just started and you're already tired. Because you're carrying what you're not supposed to be carrying. Listen, the government of the world is upon His shoulders. And He says, cast all your care on me. Why? Because I care for you. As my kids got older, you know, I used to always grab all their backpacks at school. I'd pick them up at Covenant. I'd drape one over here. I'd drape one. As they get older, you know, they wear one on the front. They wear one on the back. And they carry their own. But my instinctive nature is, when my little boy runs to me, and he, you know, and the girls, when they were younger, they run to you and you hug them, is to grab that backpack. I wonder if this morning, if you feel the Lord not touching you like a preacher would touch you in a revival, but Him saying, hey, give me that. Give me that. And He ain't tired this morning. And it's okay to be weary, but we're all supposed to rise up. His yoke is what?
Easy.
Is life easy? No. But His yoke is, and His burden is light. Would you just bow your heads with me this morning? Could it be the first thing the Lord does for us this year is to take that backpack Maybe it was passed on to you from your relatives who didn't deal with their giants. Maybe things were kept from you, taken from you. Things missing and the burden is too much. Cast your care on Him because He cares for you. Pastor John can't help you. The Church Universal can't help you. But Christ, all sufficient. Church, I'm not just pressing the point. I just, in my spirit, I see Him saying, can I carry that? Can I help? Can I carry that? You're going to find that you straighten up. Your back straightens up. You walk lighter because you are in Him. And He is in you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Father, today, this first Sunday of the year, like every year for me, I'm making all new resolutions because I can't quit. I can't quit going forward. I can't quit changing. I can't keep quit trusting. And Lord, I just pray that we would set our face like a flint for heaven, that You would be, Lord, the originator of our faith and the destination of our faith, that we know that nothing can overwhelm us fully if Christ be in us, hope of glory. May the buoyancy that's found in that name be a trademark and a hashtag for this year for us. We honor You, Lord. You don't owe us nothing, but You are faithful, faithful. Church family, y'all know I don't do this often, and I'm not doing it just for no one looking around. If when I said You are faithful, if that's your life story, I want you just to lift your hands, and I'm not looking, as high as you can lift them and tell Him, You've been so faithful to me, O Lord. Oh God, how faithful You've been to me. In my weakness, in my ignorance, in my insufficiency, in my sin, in my rebellion, in my successes, You have been so faithful, O Lord. And we glorify Your name. You told us if we're going to worship You, we must do it in spirit and with the truth. And the truth is, You've been faithful to us, O Lord. And we give You praise and gratitude. We're grateful, O Lord. Where would we be had You not sustained us and preserved us and restored our soul? Blessed be Your great name, O Lord. God, may we recommit everything to You. Stop with the rebellion and the worldliness and just realign ourselves and recalibrate ourselves in You. So when we get ready to go to bed at night with all of our flaws, we could say with integrity, I don't know one thing between me and the Lord. And let that be our mantra this year, I pray. Lord, would You be with us in the remainder of this service to anoint the preached word and the hearts to hear? Because outside of Your spirit, Lord, the flesh profits nothing. But You can change us. You can change our trajectory. Change our future. We just believe You for it, Lord. Anything's possible because we believe in You. And all of God's people said, amen. Isn't it sweet in this house this morning? Isn't it sweet in this house? Hey, would you take a few moments and greet one another this morning? Encourage one another in the Lord.
Sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh right now, just can't. It's easy to say when there's nothing to bring me down. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing.
Good morning, Christ Chapel. Good morning, guys. If y'all will go ahead and start making your way back to your seats, we can get started with the rest of our announcements. Good morning, everybody. My name is Kelly Wood, and on behalf of my husband, John, and the rest of our staff here at Christ Chapel, I want to say good morning and welcome to you guys. We are so very glad that we get to worship together this morning and celebrate the Lord and all that He's done in our lives and all that He's yet to do. So if you're a first-time visitor with us this morning, I hope that you were greeted warmly as you came in the doors. But there's always a chance that we may have missed you. If you're just trying to sneak by, if you would do me a huge favor, if you would stop, there's a table in between the two doors as you leave the foyer. If you'd stop by that table, we have a small gift that we want to put in your hands. We will not track you down or stalk you unless you want for us to, but we would love to get to know you and let you know a little bit about what we have going on in ministries here at the church. We always take a small break in the Christmas season to let our volunteers and staff rest a little bit, and plus everybody's always so busy. But now that we are coming back and school is starting back, we have so many things for your family. We've got student ministries, adult ministries. We are kicking off a lot of amazing small groups, so please check the CC app. They'll tell you a little bit more about that, but if there's anything super important they're about to tell you in the announcement video.
Good morning, Christ Chapel, and Happy New Year. We can't wait to kick off everything that's happening. Some of it has already started this year in 2026. This coming Wednesday night kicks off all of our men's, women's, kids, and youth discipleship. Our big main event for our youth, our kids programs, men's and women's Bible study. So make sure, get here this Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. And Sunday school starts next Sunday on January 11th at 9 a.m. Grab someone, bring them with you, and get here for Sunday school next Sunday, 9 a.m. We also have all of our life groups starting this year. We have some new ones. If you'll turn around and look in the back of the sanctuary, there's a table. It has all of them listed there. You can also jump on the CC app. On the front page, it has all of our live groups that are going on, coming up. Some of them have already started. We had a few this past Saturday. We have more coming up this week. And next Sunday night, Pastor John is starting one if you feel called to ministry. So make sure, get on the CC app, get all the information about any of the life groups. Come and see one of the staff. We can't wait to get you connected here at the chapel. For more information, jump out online. You can check us out at ChristChapelMacon.com or on Facebook and Instagram at ChristChapelMacon.
About the small groups, if you are new to the church or you've even just been coming the past year and it's in your heart so much to connect with other people and get to know other people in the church, Sundays, as big as we are, that can just be so difficult. And even sometimes Wednesday nights, we're going in so many different directions. But I just want to encourage you that getting to know people in the church happens small before it happens big. So please take a chance to check out our small groups. A lot of them are based off of personal interests. So that's a really good way to connect with people. But God has so many people for you to connect with, for you to minister to, and who can also minister to you. And it's available in these groups. So I just want to encourage you guys. One more thing before our ushers come, we do not have open gym tonight for our youth. So check back with that when everything gets back in full swing next week. Ushers, if you would please come and serve our church body as we continue to worship the Lord by giving our tithes and offerings. And then Pastor John will come and pray.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ.
Church family, right before we lift these, our gifts to the Lord, I want to tell you about the life group that I really feel the Lord has prompted me to do the next couple of months. It's called the Timothy Circle. Now, when I speak of the call to ministry, we're all called to minister. We're supposed to use our life, our light, our time, our talents, our resources for the Lord. But when I'm referring to the calling, the church is called out from the world. And then there's the called out from the called out, where your life is primarily, almost exclusively, but primarily defined by ministry. And that can be a very lonely place, an intimidating place. And I just felt that I was supposed to make this available for us to affirm the call that you might feel on your life, to identify it, to prepare for it. And it's like watching someone putt on a green. If it breaks right, it breaks right, it breaks right. You go, hey, that might break that way. And I hope to be able to share some of those things with you. Now, please hear my heart on this. The called are no better than any other believer. Our greatest honor is to be in Him. But I want this class to be exclusively for that. And so I know other people say, man, I'd like to come just to hear. But the environment is going to necessitate there to be people in the same room experiencing the same thoughts, the same feelings, the same direction. So if this is you, I want you to sign up on the app, and then I'm going to give you a call and talk to you about it and kind of screen and make sure you're good and you know what we're talking about. So that'll weed out a lot of people. They're not going to let me call them. But anyway, Timothy Circle coming up soon. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that's ours, and some of this I'll be referring to in the message, to give back to you. Ain't no way I can ever repay you, Lord, but I want the record of heaven to show that I was rich towards you and others. I thank you for every dollar given, and I pray that you would allow this church to use these resources to win the lost, disciple the found, mend the broken, and send the whole for the glory of Jesus Christ. Anoint me this morning, I pray, Lord, for your glory's sake, and let me have a clear mind and an articulate delivery of the truths you've laid on my heart for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and stand with me if you will. Your pastor's not educated enough or gifted enough to plan out series in advance. I just kind of go with it. And last week, if you weren't here, I encourage you to watch online. I really just exhorted you to be confident in the Lord in the coming year. And I felt like I was supposed to at least go another week, maybe next week, we'll see. But I wanted to talk to you again about confidence, specifically in God's supply. Philippians 4, verse 6. Are you there? 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. You can stop right there. I preached. It doesn't mean don't be prepared and not be aware. And it doesn't even say concerned. It says, be careful. Don't be anxious about anything. No thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if you do this, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Go to verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. What Paul was saying is it's not all roses. Sometimes you're on top of the mountain, and other times the mountain's on top of you. But I've learned to be content in all things. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Many people misquote that verse, and you know they just apply it to anything. I can do all things. Well, you can't dunk a basketball if you're old. I can't bench what I used to bench. I don't win arguments like I used to. Well, no, wing on. We're not going to go that way. What he's saying is, I can do all things through Christ means I can handle anything by letting him handle it through the Christ that strengthens me. Now, verse 19. And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Very quickly, while you're standing, need is defined by a lack of the necessities in life. And supply means to fill up, to provide liberally, or furnish. So in this scripture, we're promised that God will supply, fill up, supply liberally, and or furnish all of our necessities in life according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Romans 8:31 says this, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Many churches today emphasize God's provision and the emphasis on you getting stuff. That's a distortion of its context and its application. This is more about rest than abundance. But I got to see something to believe it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have to look past my carnal understanding and see the supply of God, who made everything out of nothing, made things that appear out of things that don't appear, who has an abundant, eternal supply. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Confidence, we talked about the person of Jesus Christ last week. Confident in the person and the promises. But I want you to be confident in his supply. Consider the birds. Consider the lilies. And you're way more value than any sparrow to the Lord. So, Father, I pray again that you would anoint me. Let me preach outside of myself, beyond myself, that people might leave not thinking of a compliment for this church or this preacher, but may they get in their car and say with integrity, surely I heard from the Lord today. And I thank you for it, God, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This supply of God is divine. By and through Christ Jesus. Many of us have read and quoted scripture so long that we forgot the intrinsic value of it. It says, if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for you, delivered him up for you means brought him into this world and suffered the brutality of the cross, the cruelty of the cross for you. How shall he not now also with him freely give you the things that you need? The reward of believing in God's supply is not abundance, it's rest. The world has twisted it to where, and the church has twisted it where, my faith, I'm claiming the next realm, I'm claiming the next blessing, and I claim. No, I just want to be in him and let it flow to me like God wants it to flow. That I have everything he wants me to have and not one thing he doesn't want me to have. The payout is not abundance. Because Paul just told you, he said, I've learned how to be at the bottom rung of the ladder. And I've learned how to be at the top. I've learned how to look endorsed, and I've learned how to look like I'm not endorsed. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content, to be at peace, and be at rest. Because I know God's supply is limitless. And if he wouldn't spare Jesus, why am I worried about bread for my family? His supply is divine. And please hear this. By and through Christ Jesus, everything flows through him. Everything flows through him. But even before you're born again, God flexes through the scripture. When he created the world and put the seed in the world, that it would reproduce itself, that everything would reproduce itself. Is that just about the world and the ecosystem and the laws of nature? Or is he telling you, I keep everything going that I want going. I supply. I supply the sunlight. I supply the rain. I supply the seasons. There's a time and season for everything under the sun. I supply it all. And some of us, I ain't even got to my sermon here, but I'm preaching. So some of us, our blessing is our cursing. Because truthfully, for some of us, we have more confidence in our skill set than we have in the supply of God. And that's a curse. Yes, God gives us abilities and opportunities. And yes, we work hard and we succeed. But the wise man sees that that comes from such an abundant, generous God, and he gives God the credit because he knows, the wise man knows, that the capacity to understand what I do and how I do it came from him. Nothing I have didn't come from God's hands. It's divine. This supply, it was preordained. The lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, all of your supply through Christ was ordained before there was a world. What we're forfeiting is not stuff. It's rest and peace. His supply is promised. You go through some of the Christian bookstores, and when we used to have them, now it's online bookstores, and you look for God's promises, and we don't look at it. I say we, many people don't look at these promise books for the right reason. We want to see how to build up our bank account instead of how to understand who God is and what I can expect from that knowledge. We don't buy God command books. We buy God promises books because we're trying to hedge our bets. We're trying to, take a buy order and a sell order at the same time and cover ourselves in case it goes south. But the supply of God is promised. He told me, John, if you ever wonder or worry about my supply, just look at Jesus on the cross. You wondering how far I'll go to make sure that your sin was covered? There you go. If you wonder how far I'll go to take care of your wife and your babies, or your husband and your babies, or your babies and you don't have a spouse, you wonder how far I'll go? Look at Jesus on the cross. Thorough supply. Look at the world. Years ago, I preached on the birds, how they're not worried. You ain't never seen no anxious bird on a limb. Lord, I don't know what we're going to do now. I don't know. Lack of worms. I ain't seen a lot of worms lately. You don't see them stressed or anxious because they understand somehow that their supply will be there. It's promised. And when you read promises that God would take care of you and meet all of your needs, listen, all of your needs, not once, all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you don't try to manipulate God. You just sit back and go, I trust you. I trust you. All my eggs are in your basket. All of my springs come from you, O Lord. All of them. And since, here's one your pastor says all the time in his prayers, all the time. I said, since it's impossible for you to lie, I think I'm just going to take you at your word. Can't lie. Can't. Not just that he's so holy he can't lie, he can't lie. I used to say this, but now with all the identification and, you know, orientation changing, but it made sense back then. If I were to say, I'm a woman, you say, you can't say that. You'd be lying. Or if God said, John, you're a woman. Well, God wouldn't say that because he'd be lying. No, I'd become one. You follow me? Whatever he declares, and what you need to find in your life is that place in him where your heart is right before him and you go, Lord, you know me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You know my strengths and my weaknesses. I trust you. And God speaks blessed. Or this year, it's taken care of. Nothing can hinder or unwind that. We're not trying to build stockpiles. We're trying to have authentic faith that receives the promise. And God's promised to take care of you. All of your needs. Now, what we want and what we try to find through hyper charismatic avenues and ministries is we try to figure out how to live our life in such a way that we don't experience conflict. How can he supply healing if you ain't ever been sick? You see, I'm not exempt. But there is inexhaustible supply in Christ Jesus for all of my needs, all of them. His supply is measured and distributed. Maybe this was my own daft sense of humor, I don't know. I think it's pretty funny, the sense of humor I have. Other people, not so much. But as I was studying for this message and preparing, I thought of the lottery. How people win the lottery and then 9 months later they're broke. You must be some kind of stupid to win the lottery and in less than a year be broke. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord brought this to my mind. He said, I don't give out lottery settlements. I distribute your supply. Because although you can trust me, is it okay to group you in here with me? John, I don't trust you real with everything, you know. Yeah, all of it's available to me. Everything I have is my son's, but I don't give it to him now. I've prepared for their future. I'm not giving him my razor now. I said, go work it out. But as they're able and maturity, there's a distribution measured and distributed according to our faith. This is critical. How many times do you see in the Bible Jesus said, because of their faith, if you want to receive all that God has and his supply for you in timely pattern, you have to believe. Listen to your pastor. Let not the double-minded man think they'll receive one thing from the Lord. Just because he has it doesn't mean that I receive it. The supply is divine. It's eternal. It's limitless. But I have to believe. I can't be double-minded. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and the Bible says, and let not that person think they'll receive anything of the Lord. And so when I'm concerned, I tell him, I'm concerned, but I'm not afraid, because you, O Lord, are faithful. It's measured according to our sowing. Now, this took a bad rap in the 80s and 90s through all these crazy television preachers. And I've been on television, so you can group me in there. But when your doctrine's false, they take a portion of Scripture. Listen, Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever things a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And they teach on the laws of sowing and reaping. And it's really, they teach it in a way, many of them, how you can twist God's arm to get him to do what you want him to do, when you want him to do it, and to the measure you want him to do it. And that's not what this says. God's letting you know that if you plant corn, corn comes up. If you plant tomatoes, tomato comes up. Whatever things you sow in faith, whether it be kindness, friendship, the Bible tells you. It said if you would want friends, show yourself friendly. Be that to other people. Whatever you put in the ground is coming back. I know that there's going to be a distribution to my life, not because I'm good, but because of his supply and what I've sown, what I've put in the ground for other people. I've sown, and I'll talk about this in a moment, not only in the kingdom of God, but in the lives of other people. I'm not going to be surprised. It's not a reward of goodness. Listen, average people can sow corn and reap corn. What happens is we sow little to nothing and expect God's best. We spend our life on ourselves instead of investing it in other people. And this is the only time I can find God specifically using sarcasm. He said, I'm not mocked. You ain't gonna make a fool out of me. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. And it's measured and distributed according to reciprocity, or our liberality to God and others. I touched on this. Now, I rarely ever talk about money in this church. I grew up watching this on television and TBN and all this, and it made me sick. But I want to draw a distinction for you, because some of you don't live in this, okay? And you're missing out on blessings. So just listen all the way through. Don't take one line out. Listen to this Old Testament reference in Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. This is God speaking to the Jews, the natural people, the natural Israel. And prove me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The New Testament church is not bound to the tithe, but it was patterned and shown even before the law. Abram tithed to the priest Melchizedek as a type, if not a theophany, of Jesus Christ, the king of Salem, and he gave a tenth of all that he has. The New Testament rule of thumb is, as every man is purposed in his heart, so let him give to the Lord. Now, this is your pastor's lifestyle, okay? The first tenth of my income, I just figure if the tenth was required of God's earthly people, that should be the floor for the Christian who is this side of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's me. Melissa draws my tithe out before I ever get my check. Now, it doesn't have to be that. It just makes me feel you first, O Lord. I want you to know that you're first. And he says, prove me. Now, that was to Israel. But the principle of reciprocity is the same. Prove, if you want to prove me, honor me with your gifts, your resources, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. See, we think blessings. God's saying, no, one blessing decreed from heaven is more than you can pick up. Now, can I go just a little deeper? We don't need your money. We can use your money. We don't need your money. But you need to be rich towards God. And I'd hate to stand before the Lord knowing I gave our evil government 25% and wouldn't honor him with my giving. My confidence is not only in who Jesus is and what I've put in the ground. But he told me he would open up the windows of heaven for my family. That's priceless. So whether you give here or another local church, and then there's offerings, know that the blessing of God is connected to giving. Luke 6, I love this verse. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, sometimes the King James messed me up, but that's how I remembered all my verses, so I have to preach out of it. With the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. It says that whatever you practice among other people, God will cause other people to do the same for you in the same measure, which means the same allocations, the same attitude, the same consistency. If you want God to be on time for you, be on time for someone else. Step in and make the difference. I do that not to secure blessings, but I know that the blessings are coming. Because God says, if you do this, it will be given back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now, this is another little pastoral secret, or unsaid, not a secret. I remember years ago, many years ago, when the Lord taught me that I was operating in a false humility, not letting people bless me. Because I was so concerned about what somebody thought that I interrupted his plans. And when someone blesses me, I don't take credit for it, but if I recognize it, if they bring corn, I know that I planted it. When they come out of the way and, hey, the Lord just laid you on my heart, and it comes at just the right time, I remember that I stepped in for other people. And it doesn't make me proud of myself. It makes me say, God, you keep your word to the nth degree. And there is a confidence in that. That farmer that plants the back 40, and he's done everything he can, and he's just waiting now on the crop to come forward. Many of us live hand to mouth because we give hand to mouth. There is he, the Bible says, that spreadeth abroad. He's always throwing his seed out, and he increases. And the other hoardeth and keep it to himself, and it tends to poverty. If you don't feel comfortable giving at this church, and you don't feel this church is a good steward of such, find you a local church where you believe God wants you and you hear his voice, and give. Now, if me or anyone else ever makes you feel guilty or pressured, don't give in that moment. Give because you believe. Give because you honor God. And he's going to take care of you. Reciprocity. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall people give to you. According to our asking and expectation. Some of us, while speaking about false humility, we don't ask God for anything. Blessed is the man that expects nothing from the Lord, for he shall not be disappointed. He said, ask. Well, no, I'm good. Really? Might want to tell your face if you think you're good. Ask. Ask. Ask for your family. Ask for your babies. Ask. Lord, I'm just coming before you because you're my first choice, not my last chance. I'm coming to you first. Asking you. If you knew how many times your pastor asked the Lord to bless my family, I position myself in prayer and I say, put your hands on my head. Bless me so that my family, so it would come down off my head and reach them into their marriages and to their babies. Bless me, O Lord. I'm going to work hard. We work as if it's up to us, but we rest as if it's up to God. That's good, Pastor John. Thank you. And some of you don't expect. Did I just say, blessed is the man that expects nothing for the Lord, for he shall not be disappointed? Well, there it is again. What are you anticipating? There ought to be an articulation in your prayer and in your car along the day. I don't know where it's coming from, Lord, but I believe that you're going to keep your word because your supply is divine, it's promised, and it's limitless. It'll be distributed according to your obedience and stewardship. If you're bad with money, let me word it this way. How many of y'all got that friend that thinks he's an expert in a field where you know they're very dumb? On this sixth marriage, and gonna give you marital advice. And you go, seven bankruptcies, and they're gonna give you financial advice, you know. And so stewardship, and I've made efforts to train my babies as they're growing up. Now they're teenagers and growing up. And I said, don't expect God to give you anything else if you ain't took care of what he gave you. Take care. Stewardship. He trusted me with a house. It don't have to be a nice house, as the world says nice, but everything about it's going to be nice because I want you to know that I know you trusted me with it. Some of our cars look like Beirut inside. Inside the car, look like Target threw up. I'll get off that. Y'all might lose your joy. But if you give your kid $50 to go to the ball game and you know drinks are $2.50 and the candy bars are $2.50 and they come back with nothing, you are slower to trust them with a lot because they didn't practice stewardship. My girls want to brag on them. They're always like this. We give them money and they bring, I didn't need it all. I didn't need this. That makes me just want, I can give them a $100 bill or $50 bill, but some of our kids, you can't give them a 10. Could you be the kid that is not a good steward with all that God's given you? Supply flows to those who are obedient and good stewards. According to his riches and glory. How rich are you, God? Now, I'm not trying to get his bank account into my account, but he said, I'm going to supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. How rich are you, God? Well, the earth is my footstool, and it's one of millions of planets, if not billions. If the scientists, what they tell us is true, there's a million galaxies, you know, whatever. John, the floor of heaven is your most valued asset on the earth. Now, that doesn't make me fall into a get-rich-quick scheme. It makes me realize, according to your riches, well, there ain't nothing you don't have. John, you're slow, but you're good. Bingo. Yes. I want to live that. I want to model that in front of my children. That me and Kelly, we and their mama, that we work hard, but it's by his riches. From friendships to relationships. How many of you, if you traced your life, you can see that God supplied things that you didn't even see coming and didn't expect? Because of his, listen, he supplies according to perfect knowledge. We want according to individual lust. He supplies according to perfect knowledge. And if he's kept something from you, there's a reason for it. This isn't in my notes, but I want to just give you this real quick. Confession's always good for the soul. It's been a year or two since I've shared this in this house. Early on in my ministry, ignorance and pride were, it would spike. And pride only shows your ignorance. See, it's a loop. And I've never been a presbyter or anything like that in the assemblies. Not that I deserve to be one. But I remember one year, and I've got one of our district officials here today. I'm not going to pin him out, so I don't even know if he knows this story or not. But I was like, Lord, how come they don't ask me to? You know, I had 1,200 people at that time, and a guy got nominated to be presbyter, and I got nominated, first time to be a presbyter. And this guy ran about 40 people. Now, you don't judge a church by numbers, but in the leadership dynamic, I'm thinking 1,200, 40. This is carnal reasoning. I know you've never done this, but I'm reasoning carnally. So he wins the vote. And then you go, what meaneth this? How I'm viewed as, you know, as my peers. So that's okay. So then a youth pastor was nominated for a position. It wasn't the presbyter, it was something else. And my name ran. And he beat me. And I said, my carnal nature, like, nobody likes you, man. That's all that is. You see. And then there was another thing, like secretary or something. You took the notes. I've only been one time, and they both turned around and they said, "Let your name run this time, you'll win." And my flesh was like, "Take you out of, you know." As part of your flesh, you're like, "Ugh." And I felt the Lord let your name run. And so I served them for that term and took the notes at our lunches and meetings. Now, they didn't do anything wrong. Wonderful men. I asked the Lord. And you know, if you ever ask him honestly, he'll answer you quickly. I said, I don't understand this. He said, "Because I answered your prayer." Just as clear. You know, his sheep know his voice, right? I answered your prayer. What prayer? "You told me to keep you from presumption and sin. And you do not have the character to handle praise." Oh. At first it hurt. And then I felt very loved that his supply is distributed and withheld according to perfect knowledge. If I was able to sustain that at that time, I would have had that if it was important to the Lord. But don't get hung up on the things that he's kept from you. Sometimes the thing he's kept from you is the greatest gift. So just pray for your pastor. It ain't all worked out, but it's getting there, you know. Measured according to his faithfulness. Number four, his supply is miraculous. The feeding of the Israelites in the wilderness. Y'all know, a water that come out of the rock and slake the thirst of millions of Jews. And the rock followed them. Now, you can go read after any commentators you want, and theologians. It said it followed them. How does that work? The rock that followed him was Christ. Cloud by day, fire by night, and a rock to slake their thirst. And then angel food starts falling from the sky. And they said, "Manna," I said, "What is this? Or what meaneth this? What's this?" And it was angel food. God's supply, whether it's your lunch or your medical bills, understand that it's all miraculous because it comes from an eternal hand into a finite hand. And I just look at that in the Israelites. If he was that faithful to take care of them, Josh, if you'd cue that for me. If he was faithful to take care of them before Jesus died, I'm asking you, what am I worried about? We're worried because the one that sits on the throne of our life is responsible, and you know that you're not able. I don't want to be in control. I don't want to be responsible. These kids now, you know, when I was growing up, you moved out at 17, 16, 70, 18. You're grown. Shoot, I tell my kids, you ought to live with me till you're 30 if you got any sense. Stay home. They gave us that lie, and we started out bankrupt. Most of us did. Feeding of the 5,000. Have you ever thought... Josh, if you'd cue that for me, that instrumental. When Jesus took the little boy's lunch, I want to see the video. I want to see how he broke off the head, broke off bread, and the bread grew back. Broke a piece of fish off, the fish grew back. Or did he just give away the fish and another one popped up in his hand? I want to see, it's like Penn and Teller. I want to see... Show me how this, I want to watch the video. But in the end, it was miraculous. And they all were fed. They were all full. And there were baskets left over. And I just feel the Lord speaking to me through the Bible. My supply is miraculous. I ain't got to tell you my secrets for you to enjoy the benefits. I just keep multiplying fish like I did at creation. They multiply, you know, and they continue because I told them to. The wheat comes back every year because I told it to. No matter how dark winter looks, the flowers come back because I told them to. I think we're trusting in ourselves way too much. That's why we're so exhausted. Instead of trusting in the Lord and his supply. I asked my mama if she would tell a story this morning that's one of those that stays in my heart. Will y'all bless her as she comes? Take your time and tell this story. It's just so beautiful.
John asked me to share. It was the first year of our ministry before our children were born, and we were in evangelistic work constantly. So we were holding a revival in Alabama. And back then, revivals were 10 days, 2 weeks, not Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so we thought we might have a problem here at this church because the pastor told us that we wouldn't be having service on Friday night because that was football. So
that's another sermon.
That's another sermon. So we never, ever told a church that we had to have a certain amount of money to come. And we just trusted the Lord that whatever came in, that he would meet our needs. And so at the end of this revival, the pastor told Roger, my husband, to come to the church the following day and he would give him the offering. So when he handed him the offering, he said...
Now this is weeks of preaching.
Right. He said, now, it's not very much. He said, after we paid the mortgage, paid the utilities, and met all the needs of the church, well, there wasn't very much left. So my husband said, thank you, the Lord bless you. And he came back to, we had a travel trailer, self-contained travel trailer. And he laid it on the, best I remember, laid the envelope on the table. And he said, there's not enough to get us to our next revival.
Not even enough for gas money.
He said, we don't have enough here to buy gas to get to our next revival. But he said, we'll trust the Lord. So we got in our trailer. We went out of town a few miles, and we pulled over to the side and parked. And he said, you go that way and pray, and I'll go this way and pray. And a couple that had been in one of our revivals before, several months before, were on their way to Florida on a vacation, and they passed us. And the wife said, that looks like the Woods trailer. So they turned around and came back. And so I fixed coffee, and we
so you, wait a minute, you got to be hospitable to people. Y'all don't have two nickels to rub together. Right. Lord said, now take care of them.
Right.
But oh, okay.
We're going to make coffee. So we made coffee. They never said, what you doing on the side of the road? And we never told them what we were doing on the side of the road. And so we visited a while, and they said, well, they needed to go and go on to Florida. And I was cleaning the table after they left. There was a little flower arrangement on the middle of the table. And when I picked it up to wipe the table off, there was a $50 bill. $50, 60 years ago, was a lot of money. And it got us to our next revival.
Amen. Thank you, Mom. If I've never not done anything else right, I've taught you that it's never about the thing. So here's a man and a woman in their little trailer with not enough gas. We're not even talking about food. And the Lord's sending you. See, when you get that, that's worth 10,000 $50 bills. Because when you get that, that story carries you through the lean times, the empty times, the times where you don't have an answer. You go, all I know is that all of my hope is in you. So you, like Whitney told us, you got to do something, God. You got to do something. His supply is yours. Enter in and rest. And don't avoid the crisis moments, because that's the moments that become the foundation of your faith. When you say, I remember when the doctor said blank, and then God supplied blank. And those are the things for you. Would you do this for me this morning? This is not a repentance sermon, but this, if you heard the Lord's voice for you, I just want you to stand where you are, and I want to pray over you. And then we're going to play a song at the end of service. Y'all remember the song I played for Chris and Sarah when they left? I feel prompted for most of the Sundays, if the Lord allows, We're going to play that at the end of service for us as a benediction. But if this message was for you today, you know what? I just got to be confident in your support. That was for me. It ain't about getting rich. It's about living restful. Glory. Glory. I ask you to respond so you'll get in a rhythm of knowing the Lord's seeing. He's watching right now. He said, that's me, Lord. Help my unbelief. Help me to see what I'm supposed to see. Lord, it ain't about the $50. It's about the God that knew I needed it. That's what I want to live confidently in. So, Lord, I pray for these standing. If there isn't one other area in my life that I can preach with integrity, it's this one. You are dependable, oh Lord. You amaze me where it comes from the left, from the right. Never saw it. Never see it coming. And there it is, under a napkin on the table. And it just beats all I've ever seen. But I'm not surprised anymore. You're that faithful. Let them enter into that. Let them live in faith, knowing that whatever they've planted is going to come up. And let them sleep accordingly. The rest of you, would you join us in standing? Now, I'm only going to say this one time. If we just let it play, there's nothing to that. But you know, you can let words and songs and scripture into your soul. This is a benediction that I believe is God's will for us as Christians. And I want you to listen, and as time passes, if the Lord tarries, we'll start singing it because we learned the words to it. Guys, would you cue this benediction for us?
May the Lord grant you peace, and may His love shine down, love shine down, and meet your every need, and keep your feet from stumbling, and fix your eyes on the mark, yes, on the prize. As you go, may you rest in Christ and receive His grace to love all men in spite of all our differences. May your words be filled with life that crumble walls of fear and pride. Take up the cross to serve the least and the lost.
Have a wonderful Lord's Day. God bless you.